How many of you know what it feels like to be guilty? Show of hands. Those that don't have their hands up are guilty for lying. So now you know what it feels like. Do you like feeling guilty? Does anyone say no? You don't. You don't like. No one likes to feel guilty. But yeah, I've spent a large part of my life not only feeling guilty, but in many cases, being guilty. Guilty of one thing or another. Oftentimes, what will happen is I'll do something I shouldn't do, and that'll make me feel guilty. Or I won't do things that I should do. That'll make me feel guilty. Sometimes I don't do things that other people expect me to do, and then they make me feel guilty. Does anyone ever have that happen? So for us, going home to Tennessee is a good example of that. We go home two or three times a year to visit family, and obviously you can't visit everyone in your family in 2 days. And so inevitably, some people get left out of our journey, so to speak. And then sometimes, not as much now as it used to be, we would hear about that. Oh, wow, I see. Now we know who you really love. Now we know, okay, they must have got you something really good at Christmas. You know, and they just put this guilt trip on you. Does anyone ever have that happen? Maybe in the holidays, you know, at Christmas time or something, and you know if I don't show up at this particular party at a certain time, then I'm going to hear about it for the rest of the year. And so, has that ever happened to anyone? Yeah? Okay, it happens. And so we don't like feeling guilty, and so what we do is we end up going and showing up. And see, guilt is a feeling associated with not living up to some standard. It could be your own standard, it could be someone else's, and oftentimes it is the fear, the feeling of fear that is associated with it. Like, what are you going to lose because you've done this thing? And sometimes it can be something innocent, like not going to see someone at Christmas time, and other times it can be something serious, as if, you know, you hurt someone's feelings, you did something to offend them, and now you may feel guilty about that, and the fear of what's going to happen next. What's going to happen? So oftentimes, I don't see my wife in here yet, she's in the choir, so she may be filtering in. So we would get in these arguments, you know, and I would feel really bad. And so, you know, we go to bed, you know, you're not supposed to go to bed mad. I know, thank God there's forgiveness for that. And so like after this series now, we have to work things out. But we go to bed mad, and I would feel so guilty in the morning. I'd get up and clean the house and do the dishes. Like, you know, just make sure, just kind of like my peace offering to the guilt just burning a hole inside of me. And so I would have to do that. When I was younger in college, there was a time where I got caught speeding. I wasn't going that fast this particular time. But yeah, it was 35. It was my college town. The speed limit was 35 right through town. I was going a little bit faster. And so they pulled me over and they gave me a ticket. And I think the ticket was like 35, 40 bucks. It wasn't much, but back then it might as well have been $1 million. And so I'm thinking to myself, because I wanted to be a lawyer growing up, so I'll just defend myself. Right? I don't have the money. I'm just going to go in there. It's his word against mine. You ever thought about that? It's his word against mine. And so I go into court, and the judge is there, and I'm listening, and after a while, they come up to the W's, and it gets to Wolfenbarger, and it's my deal. And so the judge, he reads the charge, you know, speeding in a 35 zone on this day, how do you plead? And I stand up, and respectfully, but with confidence, I said, I plead innocent. And he looks at me, he says, guilty, and he slams the hammer. And so that was it. I had to go pay the money, and that's a whole nother story how that happened. And God intervened in my life in a big way, I can tell you that. Oftentimes, I'll run into people at Walmart, and it's sad, honestly. Listen, if you're here and this has happened, I love you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other people this has happened to. I'll run into people at Walmart, and they'll be like, I'm like, before I get high out of my mouth, like, hi, they're like, I know, we should have come to church, but we've been busy. And I'm like, They feel guilt. They see me and they feel guilty for not coming to church. Like, I don't want to do that to people, but yet that's what happens. And they're like, I'm sorry, we've just been busy. Well, I know we got to get back in church. I'm like, it's been 2 years. You've been really busy. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, that's the guilt. And there's a fear of what's going to happen. What is it? And what we're talking about today, the resurrection, is the overcoming of that. We sung about it today. It's the overcoming of the fear. It's the overcoming of the chains and the shackles. It's the overcoming of the guilt, if you will. And so what we want to do today is reflect upon what God says about the situation. How is it that the resurrection brings about this forgiveness, this removal of guilt, if you will? Now, we have been in the middle of this conflict resolution series called the Civil War. We're on the path to peace. And so I want to call your attention again to that pamphlet. And in that pamphlet, you're going to notice that there are, actually, I don't have to pull mine out, but I can. Here it is. There are on the back of this, there are the four promises of forgiveness. And so when you're talking with someone, maybe you get in an argument with one of your spouses. You better only have one. But if you're in an argument with your spouse or your kids or someone at work, and you're trying to work it out and apply these principles that we've been talking about for some time, and on the back it tells you actually how to forgive. And so those principles are, number one, is I will not dwell upon this incident. So if you tell someone you forgive them, what you're saying is I will not dwell on this incident. And then you're also saying that I will not bring this up and use it against you. I think we may have it on the screen. Do we have that we can pull up? It says, I will not use this incident against you. And it also says, I'm not going to talk about this incident with other people. And so we're talking about forgiveness, what it looks like. It says, I'm not going to dwell upon it. I'm not going to let it interfere with my well-being, with my thought process. I'm not going to just stick it away. How many of you have ever done that to somebody? They've hurt you, and then you've said you've forgiven them, and then like later on, you bring that same thing back up. You ever done that? And then other people have done that to you. You're like, let me off the hook, please. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about. You're not going to use this against them. You're not going to talk to others about the incident. Again, this is, deals with gossip. Oftentimes, we go to others, but out of love for the person that we're forgiving, we don't want to mar them. We don't want to hurt them. The whole point of this is to forgive them. So why would I go and talk to other people about the situation? And then fourth is, not, I will not allow this incident to stand between us or hinder our relationship in any way. The point is that when you forgive someone, you are forgiving them forever. You're forgiving them forever. And that's a hard concept for us to grasp, isn't it? When you forgive someone, when you say, I forgive you, when you say it's okay, what you're doing is you're saying that it is indeed forever. Now, all of us have a tendency to carry around some guilt. All of us have this. It may be something that you were a part of when you were a child, something you did. Or maybe it was something that was done to you, but you were a participant in the process. It may be something that, as a teenager that you did, and you just kind of feel guilty for that, and that's been weighing you down. It's always in the back of your mind. And even though you've asked God for forgiveness, and even though you've talked to Him about it, it still just kind of pops up, and you feel guilty about it. It could be something that happened when you were a young adult. It could be something that happened last week or a year ago, whatever it is that the point is that we carry around guilt with us, and God wants us to know that His forgiveness is forever. And so we keep bringing this stuff up, and it keeps bubbling up and preventing us from living the life that God has called us to. Like, why is it that He freed us? It's so that we can worship Him, so that we can live for Him, so that we can serve Him, but yet we carry around this guilt and this shame. And God wants you to know that you are forgiven. And that is the good news of the resurrection. The good news of the resurrection is that you no longer have to live in guilt, shame, or fear. Let's say that together. Here's what it's going to do. The good news of the resurrection, the good news of the resurrection is I no longer have to live in guilt, shame, or fear. Okay, you ready? We do that? All right, let's do it together. The good news of the resurrection is that I no longer have to live in guilt, shame, or fear. That is what we're celebrating today, is that Jesus Christ rose from the grave to forgive us of our sins, to remove the shame, to remove the guilt, and to remove the fear of punishment. And that brings us to our text today. We are actually, we got a couple texts. The first one is 1 John 4:18. And God's Word says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And so there's this idea that you can leave that up for a moment. There's this idea here that if we have fear, that we're somehow, we don't quite understand yet all that Christ has done for us when He demonstrated His love on the cross and when He rose again. Because we're not yet perfected. See what He says? If you still have this fear, you've not yet been perfected in His love. It doesn't mean you're not on the you're on the way, but what it does mean is that you're missing something. You still got this fear. You still got this worry about punishment. You still got, there's something in you that just quite can't come to grasp with the fact that God has indeed forgiven you, and you can't seem to let that issue go. Is that true? We all have those areas in our life, and we're holding on to them. We just can't quite let it go. You know, we want forgiveness, and we believe in our head that God has forgiven us, but as it plays out in our life, that's always in the back of our, it's like a recording in the back of our head, just going and going. And every time God starts to call you to something, every time you start to feel like you're getting victory, guess what? This thing just starts playing again. Well, I can't do that. I can't do that because of I've done this. I can't do that because this happened to me over and over. The resurrection is about God's perfect love towards you. It's about His forgiveness and how His forgiveness lasts forever. It is forever. And that brings us to our second text, and that is in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 14 through 18. It says, "For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I make with them after those days,' declares the Lord, 'I will put My laws on their hearts and I will write them on their minds.'" And then He adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." This is a great and powerful promise. I'm going to read it again because it's kind of messed up a little bit. So here's, "For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them,' after those days, declares the Lord, 'I will put My laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds.'" And then He adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Verse 18, "Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." So those principles that we talked about earlier in forgiving other people, I think we can see those principles in here in how God forgives us. So the way that God forgives us is the way He calls us to forgive one another. And so what you see in your pamphlet is actually a reflection of this. And so I want to talk about four principles of God's forgiveness today. Four principles. And the first is that God's forgiveness is for the guilty. You may be thinking, "Well, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to know God. I'm not good enough for His love. I'm not good enough. I've made these mistakes." I know many people say, "Well, I've just got this past, and you know, I don't know, God can't love me. I've messed up too bad." Well, God wants you to know that His forgiveness is for the guilty. For those of us who have that fear, for those of us who are worried that we've messed up, that is who it's for. As a matter of fact, in Jesus' ministry, when He walked around on earth, He would run into people that thought they were perfect all the time. They were called the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these folks. They thought they were perfect people, and so they would never repent and trust Him. And Jesus had this saying, He would say, "The well have no need for a physician." That is, somebody who is not sick doesn't need to go to the doctor. And that's biblical. So well visits today are just like not biblical. And so you go pay the doctor because you're feeling good. I'm like, that's kind of crazy. I just want to be sick when I go in for a well visit. That's all I'm asking. You know, it's weird, but I'm paying for it. But Jesus says, look, this forgiveness is actually for the guilty. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, he tells us that God shows us, or God demonstrates his love towards us in this way. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. While you were still not good enough, he paid the price for you. So his forgiveness is actually for you. His forgiveness is actually for all of us. It's for all of us. And a lot of people don't like coming to church because they say, I feel guilty. I think, well, why do you feel guilty? Well, because I got some things in my life. Well, this is, confess them to Jesus and be forgiven. Don't carry the guilt around any longer. There's complete, total, forever forgiveness to the guilty. And so if you're feeling guilty, own it and say, God, I am guilty. Will you forgive me? Don't do what I did in front of that judge and declare your innocence when you know you're not. His love makes us perfect by covering all of our sin. We sing about it, is nothing but the blood of Jesus. When his blood was shed, he did that so he can make atonement or a sacrifice to pay for our sin so that you don't have to pay for your own sin. He paid for it for you if indeed you accept him. And notice this. How long, he says he's going to make you perfect. He makes you perfect, and then for how long? Can you bring that verse back up? Bring up the verse there, 14, if you can. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And it is Christ's sacrifice for you has made you perfect. You're perfected. It's a past tense. It's already happened. He has perfected you, made you perfect. So in God's eyes, when he sees you, if you've accepted him and his sacrifice, his forgiveness, if you surrendered your life to him, that I'm guilty, I'm going your way now, then what he says is he applies to you the blood of Christ, perfecting you, making you perfect for how long? All time. All time. Not till you mess up again. Not till you blow it again. He doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't just wait till you blow it again and then pull out the long list of sins and say, okay, look at all these bad things that you've done. No. For all time perfected. So when God sees you, he sees the perfectness of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. That's an amazing thing. That's what we celebrate today in the resurrection. That's what it is. The second thing is that God's forgiveness is permanent. Permanent. We alluded to that just before, but he says that it is indeed for all time. It does not change. You're not a fish. He pulls out of the water and says, you know, I don't like that one, and he throws it back. That doesn't happen. It's not like you come to him and maybe you were walking with him when you were younger and you were closer to him, and then somehow you've kind of fallen away from him. It's not that he sees you any differently. It's just that you're carrying guilt now. Guilt that he wants to satisfy. Guilt that he wants to remove. And guilt and shame that and fear. And you're carrying that. And that's what's preventing you from walking today as close to Christ as you used to. It's the guilt. His forgiveness is permanent. Verse 17, he says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Isn't that amazing? How many of you can do that? Like you can completely forget somebody's wrongdoing towards you. Although that is a peacemaking principle that we just read. That's the goal. That's what Jesus tells Peter when Peter says, how often should I forgive someone for offending me 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 77 times. You keep forgiving them. That is, make it last forever. And God says, I don't even remember. It's not that he can't remember. He chooses never to remember. He chooses never to hold it against you. He chooses to nail it to the cross when Jesus was dying. your sin, he remembers no more. It's an amazing thing. The psalmist writes in Psalm 103, God does not, or he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him, and far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. Where does that come back around? The east and the west go forever. As far as those directions are apart, as far as forever and eternity is, bring up your math class. Remember the little arrows on the line that points out in both directions? As far as that is, as long as that line can go, is how far he's removed your sin. It's amazing. And that's what happened when he died on the cross. Thirdly, God's forgiveness is reconciling. It brings you into a relationship with him. It's reconciling. Verse 14 says, you're being sanctified. It is an ongoing act. And it is God's laws written on your hearts by the Holy Spirit. This word sanctified means God has a relationship with you and he's making you more like Jesus every day. As you walk with God, as you submit your life to him, he's molding you and changing you into the image of God. Now, he knows you're not there yet, but you're already perfected for all time. He's just working on you. So you're already in, you're already perfected, you're already forgiven of all your sin, and now he's working with you, and as you walk with him, he says, okay, this is not what I would have you do, and you did it anyway, and here are the consequences. If you don't like those consequences, I would encourage you now to go this direction. We call that repentance. And so when I blow it, I repent, and I go in God's direction. And as I do that, he's making me more and more like Jesus every day. The power that enables me to forgive other people that hurt me is the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that God uses to indeed forgive me. And he says the Holy Spirit lives in us. It's not a bunch of rules. A lot of people are like, I don't go to church. They still don't get this. I mean, we still don't get this. We've been preaching this now for years. It's not a lot of rules. God's only got two real rules. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Love him with everything you've got. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That's really the only two things. And all that happens if you submit your life to him. So it's not a lot of rules. And what he says is he's written his laws on our heart. That is that he guides us through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so this is a reconciling relationship. The reason God saves you, the reason he forgives you of your sin, is not so that you can just sit there and flounder the rest of your life. Not so that you can just sit there and be in guilt and wonder, are you really saved? And not so that you can just sit there and replay those past sins over and over in your life. Not so that you can argue and fight with your wife and your parents and everyone else in your life. The reason he saved you is not so that you can sit and wait until he comes back and you go to heaven. There's this intermediate period from the time that you've accepted Christ and submitted your life to him to the time he comes back. In that, it's called your life. And in your life, he saved you to have a relationship with him, to glorify him, to live in victory, to live in freedom, to have the chains broken off of you, the chains of guilt, shame, and fear. It's about a relationship. And fourthly, God's forgiveness is about freedom. It's about freedom. I remember there was a time in my life where I went to a church tradition where there wasn't a lot of grace. There wasn't a lot of forgiveness. You had to dress a certain way, you had to talk a certain way, you had to use a certain version of the Bible. Everything had to be just right, and if you messed up, somehow God wasn't pleased with you. Somehow this verse didn't apply that said, I've been perfected for all time. And the tradition that I grew up in said if you didn't perform right, if you didn't act right, if you didn't look right, if you didn't go by all of our church rules, then somehow God's love and provision and grace didn't apply to you. You need to do better. And that is not what Christ says. What he says is that it is His perfection that He gives to us. He has perfected us not because of what I do, but because of what He did on the cross. And He's proven that that is true. Now, anybody can make those claims, but He proved it when He got up out of the grave and He walked around. We read it this morning. Bronson read it in the Scripture. He was seen by 515 people after His resurrection. People that testified, people who died testifying that they had witnessed Him after He was crucified and raised again. They saw Him. They talked with Him. They ate with Him. They touched Him. Forgiveness of Jesus is so powerful, so all-encompassing, you are free forever. Forever. You're so free that even if you wanted to work off your sin, you couldn't. That's the last verse. Verse 18. It says, where there is forgiveness of these, that is the these, is the sin and the lawless deeds. Where there's forgiveness of these, there's no longer any offering for sin. You can't even make an offering for your sin because it's already been taken care of. That's how free you are in Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, because we try to work it off, don't we? You know, I go blow it with my wife and I go try to do all the dishes before she gets up or clean the house before she gets home. I try to work it off. I do something, I think a bad thought, and oh man, well this is why this bad thing's happened to me, because I thought this thing, and now somehow karma's allowing this to happen. No! No! That's not it at all. That's the lie of Satan in our head. God says, even if you wanted to give an offering for your sin, you couldn't, because it's paid for. We've got to know that. That is freedom. How many of you would like to be set free? Just raise it. Set free. You're carrying around some baggage and some bondage, some hurt and some pain, some unforgiveness, some guilt, some shame, some fear. Everybody raise their hand. I want to be set free of that, right? We want to be set free of that. In Christ, you are free from that. You're free. Right now, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, if you've asked Him for His forgiveness, He has given it, and you are free. You are perfected for all time. There's no longer anything you can do to get more forgiveness. You're forgiven completely across the board. It's a blank slate. In John 8, 35 and 36, Jesus says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Remember? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Sons of God. And as you're adopted, sons and daughters, if you will, and as you're adopted, and He says here that the sons remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be what? Free indeed. We sing the song. Do we believe it? Do you believe you're free? I remember the old Mary, Mary song. Take these shackles off my feet so I can dance. Anybody remember that? Somebody want to sing it? I'll dance. Okay. I wish somebody pull it up. That would really be cool. But I love that, because that's the deal. Jesus removes the shackle off our arms and off our feet. He sets us free so that we can dance and glorify Him and go through our life with this great hope that it doesn't matter what anyone does to you. It doesn't matter how bad it is, that God has a purpose and plan for your life. He can redeem it. Even if you're a prisoner in jail for 100 years, He can use you. He can transform your life and use you for His glory behind the walls of the prison. And He does it. And the prisoner has great hope. God has already set him free. And so he can serve Him even behind bars. And he knows that God is going to set him free when he dies and he sees Him face to face. God has an eternity waiting. And we get to live in this freedom now. Scripture says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. So, what do we do with this? How do we process this? Maybe you're here today and you're just like, you know, you're here, it's Easter, and there's a lot going on. Just for one moment, If the Holy Spirit's moving in your life, just let Him. And you know that thing when we raise our hand and say we want to be free, you know what come up. You know what happened. Well, some of you here today, you're here today, and you've got a lot of those things that popped up when you said you want to be free. It could be pain, it could be addiction, it could be dysfunction, it could be anger issues, there could be some secret sin in your life, all these things. There's one or two, or there's a lot. And the truth is, Christ paid for it all. And some of you here, you've never accepted His forgiveness. And today, you just need to, if God's calling in your heart, and you say, I want that freedom, then what He's telling you is to confess your sin to Him and say, God, please forgive me of my sin. I want the forgiveness that guy up front's talking about. I want the forgiveness that You bought me on the cross. I believe in Your resurrection, and I want to give my life to You. And God says if you do that, you are perfected for all time right then and there. Right then and there, perfected. And for some of us, maybe we've been Christian for a long time. Maybe we've been following God. You've been on the journey for a while, and things are just, you know, they've kind of crept into your life. And maybe some old things that happened before you were a Christian, before you were a believer, those things are just kind of popping up from time to time in your life. And every time God starts to call you out in faith, that comes up. You know what I'm talking about? Does everybody know what I'm talking about? That thing, God's calling you out in faith. He's saying, do this thing. And then something you've done, something that's hanging over your head, some sort of guilt, shame, or fear stops you from saying, yes, Lord. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus died so that that doesn't have to keep you from taking your next step with Christ. He died to pay for that. Perfected for all time. Now listen, if I said how many people were perfect, none of us should raise our hands because we've all sinned. We all have the guilt and the shame is what God says. But those of us who are in Christ Jesus indeed are perfect in His eyes. In His eyes. You're perfected. Because when God sees the child of God, He doesn't see Tony Wolfenbarger and all the sin. He sees the precious Jesus Christ that paid for my sin. And He sees the precious Jesus Christ that paid for your sin. So today, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Some of you, if you've never accepted Christ, you say, I want this forgiveness. I want this freedom. I want this reconciliation. I want this perfection that God gives me by the power of His Holy Spirit. I want to give my life to Him. Then while I'm praying, while I'm up here talking, don't wait for me to pause, while I'm speaking to God, just pour out your heart to God and say, I accept You as my Lord. I give You my life and I want Your forgiveness. Will You save me? And He will. For the rest of us who maybe we've already done that sometime in the past, but we're still hindered. We're still living in this bondage. You know, we still want to have the freedom, but we don't quite yet have the freedom. Jesus tells you, you do have the freedom. Start living in it. And maybe God's giving you an area today to what that looks like. He's giving you a vision in your mind. And say, this is what freedom looks like in my life. It might be that when you worship, you raise your hand rather than keeping them in your pocket. Because you know you wanted to raise your hands, but you're afraid of what everybody's going to say, and so you just keep them in your pocket. Maybe that's the freedom. Maybe there's freedom of saying, I want to forgive this person that's hurt me because God's forgiven me of so much. And I don't want that bondage and that baggage waiting on me and just carrying around that burden of wanting revenge. I don't want that anymore. And so you give them that. Maybe it's a sin or addiction. And it doesn't mean the addiction is going to be gone tomorrow. It doesn't mean the sin is not going to be tempting tomorrow. But you say, God, I want Your forgiveness in this sin. I want Your forgiveness in this area. I'm no longer going to hide this from You. It is Yours. He sees it anyway. Yeah, we know that, right? He sees it anyway. So why are we running and hiding? So that's what we're going to do. Some of you here today, as a picture of giving Him that guilt, it works for me. When I pray and I'm going through this, I'm holding on to that guilt or that shame or that sin or that pain or whatever it is. And it just helps me to clench my fist real tight and to close my eyes and see myself holding on to that. And then to hear God say He's perfected me for all time. He doesn't hold my sins against me. And so I just let them go and give them to Him. And they're gone. And it's something about doing that physically represents something that's going on inside, and you may choose to do that. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Father God, right now, as we bow before You, Lord, You've died to set us free, and yet we walk in bondage. You've died to forgive us of our sins, to remove the shame, the guilt, and the fear, to perfect us in Your love. Lord, even if we wanted to, we couldn't pay off our sin. Even if we wanted to, we couldn't make up for what we've done. It's already been taken care of by You on the cross. And so, Lord, why do we continue to allow the enemy to rob us of our joy, to rob us of our freedom, to rob us of our relationship with You? Lord, today, all over the house, there's some here that are going to be confessing You as their Lord and Savior and say, I believe. For the first time today, they're asking You to forgive them of their sin. And we pray, Father God, for them right now, that Satan would not take that back, that he would have no foothold here, that he would have nothing to do, and they would be able to give their life and trust You for forgiveness and freedom. And Lord, may the same be said of us who have been walking with You for some time, but we've listened to the lies of the enemy, we've replayed past things and failures over and over in our mind, and we just need to hear You say today that we are forgiven, that we are free, that we're set free to serve You, to worship You, to go with You, and to represent You everywhere we go. And so, Lord, now we want to worship You. We want to sing to You. We want to praise You, and we do that for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.